Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. We're looking at the Sermon on the Mount as we work our way through Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 17, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. This is God's word. "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not murder,' and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, 'Raca,' is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'Do not commit adultery.' But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, 'Anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce.' But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to become an adulteress. And anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord.' But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is God's footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. You have heard that it was said, 'Eye for eye and tooth for tooth.' But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he sets the standard so high that all of us, if we take him seriously, which we ought, would be driven to the point of despair.
So, Pastor Wood, you're saying we should all end up in despair?
No, not end up there, but you have to go through there in order to get where you need to be. As long as you think, well, that's tough, but I can do that, you're not going to get where you need to be. In order for us to be rightly related to God, we have to come to the point of realizing, I can't do this on my own. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You cannot earn the gift. And what Jesus does in this treatise on righteousness, in the midst of the Sermon on the Mount, is to show the disciples, on the one hand, who he is by saying, you have heard, but I say to you, you've heard, but I say to you, you've heard, but I tell you, demonstrating his authority. He also, however, shows them, when he tells them what they need to know, that it's a standard you and I don't live up to. He concludes it by saying, be perfect, therefore. Be perfect. Perfect. Are you kidding? Me? I mean, I may be a lot of things, but perfect isn't one. How am I to be perfect? I would need to be, I don't know, born again. Start over. Have a new life. I would need what in theological terms is called an alien righteousness. That is to say, a righteousness that comes from outside me. The entire book of Romans is devoted to this subject. Let me urge you to look for just a moment. Don't lose your place here in Matthew 5 because we're coming back to it. But take a look in Romans chapter 1 because this is exactly what the whole book of Romans is about. And it is good news, folks. It's good news. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and following. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. You and I are not saved by what we do. We are saved by Jesus. He is the one who is perfectly righteous, who completely, perfectly fulfills God's law. And then he offered his perfect life as the atoning sacrifice for us on the cross. But you can never appreciate the cross of Jesus Christ unless you recognize the holiness of God and the sinfulness of man, and not just man in general, but yourself. As long as you feel like you're a pretty good guy and God's lucky to have you on the team, you're not on the team. If you've never come to the point of hating your own sin, then you don't know Jesus. You cannot really appreciate who he is and what he's done unless you realize God's standard is perfection. Well, nobody's perfect. Oh, that's where we're wrong. God is perfect. Jesus said, therefore, be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. God is perfect. He's perfect. And so for God to demand perfection of us is not unfair. It's just undoable in our own strength. There's no way that I can do that. Jesus has just laid out a standard that shows us that we all fall short. Do you remember the rich young ruler who comes to Jesus? He says, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, well, you know the law. And he says, oh, yes, well, I've kept all those commands since I was just a youth. Baloney. He might have thought he kept all those commands since he was a youth, but he hadn't. Let me tell you, anybody who wants to go toe-to-toe on self-righteousness, I'll match you, okay? But the Apostle Paul, who was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, as to the law, blameless. Oh, man, I mean, he knew how to keep the rules. He says, I now consider that as dung. Why? Because my best efforts at keeping the law still fall short. Right? You need a brand new life in order to please God. And that's what we're offered in Christ Jesus. So when Jesus shows us that God's standard is perfection, he's not being mean. He's trying to bring us to the point of recognizing what we really need. He's showing us that apart from his righteousness, we can't measure up. Look at the standard. First of all, he says, I've not come to abolish the law. I've come to fulfill the law until heaven and earth disappear. Not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Guess who accomplished it? Jesus. Perfectly fulfilled it. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. In other words, if you tell people, oh, you don't have to do that. It's not a problem. God really doesn't care. Oh, you're a liar. God's standard is still perfection. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were the experts. I mean, they knew all the rules and they really worked hard to keep all the rules. Sometimes just crazy stuff. Not only were you not to work on the Sabbath, but you weren't to spit on the ground on the Sabbath. Because if you spit on the ground on the Sabbath, there might be a seed in the soil. And if there was a seed in the soil and you spit there, that would be watering a seed, which is farming, and therefore a violation of the law. You know what Jesus did on the Sabbath? Jesus spit on the ground, and he spit enough to make some mud to put on a man's eyes who was blind, and then told the man to go and wash, and the man was healed. So Jesus taught them to break the law? No, Jesus taught them that their convoluted, self-righteous attempt at adding to the law in order to be sure that we won't break the law was totally worthless. And he had not come to be a rules enforcer. He had come to heal, to give sight to the blind, to give hearing to the deaf, to give speech to the mute, to make it so that the lame could walk and so that lepers were cleansed of their leprosy. Jesus came to deliver us from evil, not to give us more rules. But Jesus says, I'm telling you the truth. your righteousness needs to be beyond that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Where can we get such a righteousness? Only in Jesus Christ. He's the only one. It's His righteousness we need. And thank God the Bible says He is our righteousness.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents, and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, Jesus then goes through a series of things that they would be very familiar with and raises the bar. You've heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. It says here that in the law, it's an offense to call someone raka, which is like, you idiot. But I must say, that's one of the things I've had to repent of, especially when driving, because I encounter people who seem to me to be behaving foolishly. But it's not okay, because the problem is, it's a heart thing. My heart is not right when I have that attitude toward others. If you call somebody a fool, He says, you're not just in danger of judgment, you're in danger of the fires of hell. That's how He starts out this section. Wow. I could go to hell just because of my attitude towards somebody else? Yes. But I didn't shoot them or stab them. I just had a horrible attitude toward them. Well, that is sin. And we need to repent. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar and you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. In other words, God doesn't want you acting like everything's fine with Him when it's not fine in your relationship with others. Apostle Paul in the book of Romans expands on this, and he says, as much as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. You can't always be at peace with people, because sometimes they won't be at peace with you. But as far as your attitude toward them, it needs to be one of peace. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who's taking you to court. Do it while you're still on the way. Have you ever wanted to just take somebody and bring them before a higher authority and be able to say, now look, this is what they did. Assuming, of course, that you're going to be vindicated, they're going to be punished, and you'll walk out saying, I told you. Have you ever felt that way? Guess what? Jesus says, it's not a good plan, because you may be the one who gets thrown in jail. Don't think that you are so good that you can be angry with everybody else because they've messed up. You have too. There's an old expression, when you point the finger at somebody else, you have several fingers pointed back at you. Well, so am I just supposed to think that it's okay? No, you're supposed to think that you need a Savior and that they do too. This is a setup for the gospel, folks. This is pre-evangelism. You've heard that it was said, do not commit adultery, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Can a woman commit adultery in their heart? Sure, but Jesus is talking here to his disciples. It was a group of men. That's why he describes it in this way. Women, be wise and make the application. If you look at someone lustfully, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Well, what does it mean to look at someone lustfully? It does not mean, wow, that's a good-looking person. That's not lust. Lust is when you feel like, I got to have that. Oh, man, I've got to figure out a way to have that. When you start objectifying people and acting as if I've got to figure out a way or I'm going to fantasize about what it would be like, that is lust. That is sin. That is deadly. And that's what Jesus is talking about right here. Please understand, we are living in a world that is awash in that sin. And if you think that lust is not a problem, you're calling God a liar. Jesus says, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Let me ask you a question. If you have a problem with lust, would gouging out an eye fix it? No, you still got another eye. And the lust doesn't come from your eyes, it comes from your heart. So are you saying I need to cut out my heart? No, I'm saying you need a new one. Jesus is teaching us that sin is so bad you'd be better off blind and unable to use your hands than to be continuing to embrace sin. Don't do it. Divorce, likewise, Jesus sets the standard so high that the people of his day responded to him by saying, well, then it's better not to get married. That's what they said. Regarding oaths, Jesus says, no oaths. Don't just keep your oaths. Stop making them. Simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. And Jesus tells us, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 7 and 8, the Apostle Paul says to believers, why not rather be wronged? You're suing each other. You're going to court. You're fighting over stuff. Cut it out. It's better to be wronged. Let him have your coat. What have you got in this life that matters more than pleasing God? You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. What's your takeaway for today? God's perfect standard drives us to the cross. We have no other hope. If Jesus hadn't died for us, there's not a person on the planet who would be able to go to heaven. All of us deserve death. And what he provided was the sacrificial death that pays for our sins. And let me tell you, he didn't just take our punishment. He provides our righteousness. And we are rich in him. We have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And folks, I'm telling you, there's no limit to his righteousness. And we are rich beyond measure. Thanks be to God.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.